And welcome back to Regionally Speaking. I am Dee Dotson.
Emergency situations can be especially stressful for those with autism spectrum disorder. A bill in the Indiana General Assembly would provide grant funding for public safety agencies to purchase sensory kits, which contain resources to help those individuals communicate and remain calm during potentially traumatic events like fires or ambulance calls. While first responders say they're proving to be effective, so far the bill has not received a committee hearing. Crown Point firefighter Matt Kotacek is the creator of Ben's Blue Bags, an organization that provides sensory kits to first responders. It's named for his son Ben, who's on the autism spectrum. Matt Kotacek spoke to Lakeshore Public Media's Michael Gallenberger. Here's the conversation.
Before we talk about Ben's Blue Bags and some legislation that's been introduced at the State House, why don't you tell me a little bit about Ben himself?
So Ben is 10 years old right now. He's getting ready to turn 11 here in the next 2 weeks. So his birthday's coming up. You know, it was around age 4 or 5 when we discovered that Ben was on the autism spectrum. We kind of had some inclinations prior to that, but never had like a solid answer of, you know, speaking with experts, because he kind of met it, didn't meet it. And then as he's gotten older, he really, we've come to find out that he is, would be considered like level 2 diagnosis for autism. Ben is a positive kid. He actually enjoys school. He loves, you know, he loves swimming. He loves trains. He's really good at math. And he's a kid who always knows how to stay positive. It's one of the things I was talking about in my presentation is, as much as Ben might, you know, pester or bug me about wanting to do something, he always is very positive. He's never a kid that's like down at all. He's a very positive young man now. And I say young man because he's going to be turning 11 here, and feels like the years are flying by with him.
Now, as a first responder, I'm sure you've, you know, come across many situations that would be difficult for any of us to experience. But is there anything that you realized after Ben's diagnosis that would be particularly hard just for someone like him?
So I had some calls when I was still working on the ambulance about 5 to 6 years ago, where we were tending care to a patient involved. This one was involved in a car accident, and we were taking care of the mother, and the son was on the autism spectrum. And this was about the same time I was learning about Ben being on the spectrum. And I had a little bit of knowledge of, you know, understanding autism, but not, you really don't understand it and don't until you're living with it and it's part of your daily life. That as a first responder, we didn't have anything at that time that we carried to better help us, you know, take care of that young man and his mother. And, you know, his mom was his best caregiver. And, you know, I always feel like me and my wife are probably the best caregivers for Ben. But what happens if I'm incapacitated or if I'm not there? The next person that's going to be taking care of them is going to be the first responder, especially in emergency situations.
And that's where Ben's Blue Bags comes in, I would assume. Could you tell me a little bit about that and what that seeks to do?
Yeah, so I saw an article back in 2019 of a first responder, son of myself, who was doing a sensory bag out in Ohio. And it kind of popped in my head. I'm like, we need to be doing something like this, similar to what they're doing in Ohio at a local fire department, and bring it back to Northwest Indiana. And at the time, nobody was carrying anything similar to what it was. So I kind of worked with them like, hey, what do you guys have? You know, at the time they were buying kind of like a sensory kit. They put it into a bag. It was just kind of a plain green bag. And when we kind of first came up with it, you know, this idea, I was talking to my mom and she's like, why don't you name it Ben's Blue Bags? You know, Ben's favorite color is blue. And, you know, from there, I'm like, it kind of rang, you know, it's something that just rolled off the tongue, like, hey, grab the Ben's Blue Bags. And it, in Northwest Indiana, it's become synonymous for kind of the go-to bag when we're on a call or an emergency where somebody may be on the spectrum, or even special, you know, maybe special needs, or any even a pediatrics call that it's kind of been the go-to now in Northwest Indiana to grab that bag. And what started as first responders for realistically the ambulance has now grown into putting them on fire apparatus and putting them on our police cars. You know, it was our local police department coming over to me asking if I would do the if I would, you know, present and set the police officers up with it because they're arriving first on scene. And one of the stories that got to me was in Schererville. They kind of Schererville police kind of came to me about 2-3 years ago is the Schererville Fire Department, the police department was on scene. They were trying to de-escalate the situation and they go, hey, these firefighter paramedics show up on the ambulance and everything just made a 180 and went better. And they're like, you know, why don't we have them on our police, you know, the police officers not carrying them. And from there, it's just been kind of a, I used to call it like the snowball on top of the mountain effect where it's just, has grown to more and more first responders utilizing the bags and the training all the time.
What exactly is in a Ben's Blue bag? What are the types of tools that we're talking about?
So I actually have a bag with me. So there's many different departments that are using sensory bags. You know, we worked with Ben's teachers. I've worked with different therapists and stuff like that to try to incorporate everything, you know, or a good amount of equipment that will better serve our first responders and help us de-escalate somebody that's on that may be on the spectrum or having a hard time in emergency situation. So the original sensor bag we came out with deal with just a dry eraser board. Where we've kind of grown from there was actually we have the dry eraser board on one side and it was Ben's kindergarten teacher that, you know, through the school said where it hurts. So we actually have a where it hurts on the backside. And then the other thing which we have in there is actually we've added a picture communication board so they can kind of point direct, especially if they're nonverbal and are unable to speak. And then the other thing we've actually put together is for them is actually an inventory sheet so they know exactly what's in there and what, you know, when they go to refill it or, you know, how they can even go on Amazon and refill the items after they use it. So from there, we have a set of headphones. So we found having the set of headphones are really important, especially drowning out that white noise. Emergency scenes can be loud at times. So having the headphones has been huge. I've had, I come into work and, you know, the ambulance crews are like, hey, Cap, we used the headphones on a call yesterday. All right, cool. We'll, you know, order more sets of headphones. Or a lot of times we have enough down at Ben's Blue Bags. I can go pick up more and be able to resupply those. So going along with the dry eraser board, we have a set of markers. Again, these can get many years of life on them. You know, most of the time they're just using them on one or two calls. So it's something that can be reused over and over again, just like the dry eraser board. From there, we have our, what I call like our sensory kit. So the sensory kit is really neat because we came up with a variety of items that we just kind of buy in bulk now to get the price point down. So we have anything from like this little giraffe that makes noise, that can extend it. We have different, you know, textile stuff. So like the squeeze ball, which we're good for textile. We know with the autism spectrum, spinning of objects is a huge thing. So we have multiple like spinning of objects. So anything from the soccer ball, they can spin. We have fidget spinners in the bags. We have the poppets. So the poppets are really good for the textile. They're multicolored. You can play with those. And then, you know, the Rubik's Cube. I can't tell you how many times I've had responders tell me about how they've used the Rubik's Cubes. With the Rubik's Cubes and the Rubik's Snakes, is sometimes somebody on the spectrum might need like some problem solving for them to refocus on. So the Rubik's Snake has worked really good also for that. So we have multiple different items for kind of handle all different situations, whether it's sound, whether it's textile, whether it's problem solving. We've really tried to incorporate multiple things in the bag. And it's a package deal, which is nice. So instead of departments kind of buying this or that, we've put it together. We've, you know, kind of tested this theory out, and it seems to be working, at least here in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, talk about that impact, because I believe Franciscan Health and some of their doctors have looked into Ben's Blue Bags and the impact that it's been having. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Dr. Eric Lombardi, he is the medical director for Franciscan Crown Point, came to me and asked me about doing a medical study. So what we put together was a survey that first responders could take, and we sent that out during different EMS meetings. Anytime I would do the presentation, we had it in there that they could scan it, and we had a survey, and it showed a after they got all the numbers back in, it showed it had a 92% effective rate of helping on emergency scenes. So that's huge, to have a 92% effective rate. One of the biggest things they found is when paramedics had to start an IV, that it helped having an item for the patient to kind of focus on while they had to start IVs. The other thing is, we've had great feedback of, because of having the items and utilizing these items on emergencies, that they didn't have to even start advanced life support care. Most of the time, they could get these situations calmed down that a patient didn't need to be sedated or anything, or additional medications due to having these sensory items with them, that they're able to deploy them.
And do you have any idea of how many agencies are involved now? And I believe it's not just in Northwest Indiana anymore. It's spread beyond that. Is that right?
Yeah. So I don't have the exact number of agencies. I can tell you we've been all over. Concentration in Northern Indiana, especially in Lake County. We've worked with a local foundation called Logan's Love out of Dyer, and their mission after learning about benzo bags has been to facilitate, at least their mission was in Lake County. So in the last year, we did 400 bags just with their donations and their fundraising in Northwest Indiana, and especially Lake County, we've done 400 bags. We've been pretty fortunate to get some grants through NIPSCO and local family foundations, allow us to kind of do this Northwest Indiana regional area, that through those grants allowed us to at least set them up with a bag. And I've gone on and done presentations for police and fire departments and EMS departments in Northwest Indiana. But it has grown. We've traveled down to around the Indianapolis metro area. We've been in Pike Township, which is kind of that northwest corner of Marion County. We've been over to Avon. Recently, I was just doing the program or the presentation for firefighters from all across Indiana at the Indiana Winter Fire School. That was just 2 weekends ago. And I had, firefighters from Lebanon, Noblesville, but even Southern Indiana that never even heard of the program. And then from there, just the power of social media and just our posting and all that. Last year, we were in Lamont, Illinois. We've done during like COVID-19, we did some Zoom presentations with Windsor, Ontario, Canada. We sent some bags there, Kansas City, Missouri, one of the suburbs out there. And then even I've been to Prince Williams County, which is like one of the areas that surrounds the DC metro area, and Bristol, Virginia, all in the past 5 years.
And now there have been some efforts to put some state funding behind this concept of sensory bags. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, so Representative Mike Andrade out of the Schererville, kind of Griffith area, he was at one of our like fundraising events we did last year with the Munster Police Department, Logan's Love and the Munster Women's Club. And he came to it. And from there, he asked if he basically has to introduce a bill. So what they've introduced is this House Bill 1307, which would kind of fund sensory bags, the benzo bags, across the state. The plan was right around 1600 bags over a 2 year period. So like 800 for 1 year, 800 for the next, just to get these bags out across the state. Really, one, it's highlighting what we're doing here in Northwest Indiana, but two, giving Hoosier first responders the ability to have these bags, at least set them up with one. And if they want to, they choose to get additional ones, they can, they could contact us and obtain one. Everything we've done through donation. And even with the bill, taking on the 1600 bags, we know it's a huge mountain to face, but the volunteers and people wanting to help in Northwest Indiana that have contacted me and said, hey, if this goes through, we'll help you bag, everything from, high school kids, needing community service hours to local Boy Scouts who are like, let us know, Matt, we're here to help facilitate this across the state. So, the bill, if it actually was funded, it was, like it says, right around 1600 bags over a 2 year period. But that was even getting all the local support help like we've had to help, get the bags put together and send them down to Indianapolis, where through an IDHS grant, they could, request a bag.
Now, the bill has not gotten a hearing yet, and it sounds like it probably isn't going to, but Representative Andrade wants to incorporate the language into another bill if he can. Obviously, it's a, legislative session where there's a lot of discussion about cutting taxes and, maybe cutting spending a little bit. Very difficult to introduce a new program. Why do you think this is worth it?
So the reason I think this is worth it is, you know, it's a very small percentage if you think about in the overall state budget, you know, government budget here, to get this program up and going statewide. And it's giving first Hoosier first responders, you know, we're a homegrown, we're here in Crown Point. We started this thing. We've been going over it for 5 years. You know, help our Hoosier first responders, but also help our, you know, fellow Hoosiers. You know, 1 in 36 children are diagnosed every year on the autism spectrum. And it really isn't a case of if, it's more of a when these bags will actually be utilized. And there's a high probability they can. The bags themselves, it's a piece of equipment that will help police and firefighters on these calls. You know, and just to kind of sum up with the initial bag, it's a win-win for everyone. It makes the first responders better at their job. It helps children or adults that are on the spectrum better have a better experience, you know, with first responders when these incidences happen. So it's really a win-win for all Indiana Hoosiers that, you know, we're seeing this rise and we're helping, you know, put this vital piece of equipment in police departments and fire departments' hands and, you know, and EMS.
That's Crown Point firefighter and Ben's Blue Bags creator, Matt Kotacek, speaking with Lakeshore Public Media's Michael Gallenberger. In an email to Lakeshore Public Media, Representative Mike Andrade's press secretary said he, quote, remains optimistic about finding an alternative legislative vehicle to incorporate the bill's language as House bills move to the Senate and vice versa. Representative Andrade wants to emphasize the importance of this legislation, highlighting its potential to equip first responders with crucial tools to assist children with autism during emergencies, end quote.
And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Media.
Legacy Foundation is Lake County's community foundation. For over 30 years, we've partnered with donors and nonprofits, focusing on youth development, the arts, the environment, health, literacy, and other causes that matter to you. We're committed to Lake County forever. First Things First, Border County is dedicated to supporting families, healthy beginnings, and quality early learning, ensuring every Border County baby is born prepared for a strong start in life. Learn more at firstthingspc.org.
I have a very strong connection to other students. Everyone makes an effort to help each other. I'll remember the feeling of being here, the feeling that I was a part of a family.
Learn more at pnw.edu.
Additional support for Building Blocks is provided generously by Tom Sorlis and Sue Eleuterio, as well as Porter County Community Foundation, serving Porter County since 1996.
Build up childhood development in Northwest Indiana by supporting Building Blocks. Your donation to Lakeshore Public Media's Early Childhood Initiative will be matched dollar for dollar up to $100,000. Visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks today. Building Blocks, the podcast, a co-production of Lakeshore Public Media and First Things First Porter County, is dedicated to exploring the science of early childhood development and addressing the challenges that Northwest Indiana encounters. Dr. Mary Jane Eisenhower, Executive Director of First Things First Porter County, explores the vast world of early childhood development as she welcomes local experts, parents, and practitioners to discuss the building blocks for brain and language development. Here's Mary Jane Eisenhower with more.
Hi, welcome to Building Blocks, where we explore the science of early childhood development. Today, I'm talking with Jen Trowbridge, the president and CEO of CoAction. Welcome to Building Blocks, and I'm really excited to have you here today and to talk about the wonderful things that you and your organization, CoAction, do to support families and children. And I thought we would just dive right in to an issue that I know many of us as parents, and probably not as parents, we take for granted, the idea of diapering your baby.
Oh, that is a good topic, and I'm really excited to be here today to talk through that with you. There's a lot of costs associated when you have a baby, and so many elements go from nutrition to clothing and then, of course, diapers. And I think that's a topic we don't talk about enough, and we just assume everyone has access, and we assume that children get changed frequently and at a healthy rate, but the reality is it's pretty expensive. And so a lot of families tend to get caught between decisions of diapers or more food, or diapers or paying my utility bill on time. So really, it can be a burden for families to undertake.
I discovered online as I was preparing to talk to you about, there's actually a diaper calculator. You can go out there and figure out like how much it would actually cost. And so I plugged in some numbers and discovered that in a baby's first year, a new parent will change their baby's diaper maybe 1,200 times. And that is over $2,000. How are families affording this?
So a lot of families are figuring out some tips and tricks, and unfortunately, some of that means they cut back on diaper changes. Some families try to go a cheaper route with cheaper brands. People have to find what brand fits their child's body and ergonomics, and not all brands are good for all size of babies as well. And so sometimes when parents even try a cheaper route, they end up having to change more frequently because the diaper doesn't hold up as well, and then there's more accidents. And so what we have found on average is it's about $100 a month if you're thrifty, if you can find deals. You're still looking at $100 a month. And if you have a child that just needs to be changed more frequently or they have some issues, that cost obviously goes up. So when you think about families that are working families that are paying their bills, as you know, things are rising in price from food to even rent if they're renters. And we have a lot of that in Northwest Indiana. Mm-hmm. $100 a month is a really big bill to undertake. There's not supports for that. And so until now, we finally have a little bit of a reprieve for families that we're piloting.
That's fantastic. Let's talk about, it's about half of families are reporting they can't pay for diapers.
Oh, it's very stressful. So, you know, when you have a baby, you want to be the best parent. You want to be able to give your child this great beginning. And it starts with a lot of healthy decisions. And so people don't have babies thinking, how do I cut back on diapers? How do I cut back on formula? How do I cut my costs? That's not the first thing that comes to their mind when they're bringing a life into the world, right? And so once they have the baby and they realize all these pieces that come with this, it can be very stressful. We find that more than half of parents say that diaper cost is a lot of stress for them. And if they had some support for that, 75% of parents said if we had some support for diapers, we would feel less stressed. And so we know that there's a piece there that we can do. And when parents are less stressed, they become better parents on all the other things you have to think about and work with when you have a young child 0 to 3.
So what I think you're saying, Jen, is that there's this health need, right, to keep our babies healthy and clean and safe. But there's also this impact on the parents' health and their mental health. And that stress, tell us what you know or what you've seen about that.
Yeah, there's two factors that you're talking about, right? So on the infant and toddler side, you know that with diaper changes, you're preventing urinary tract infections, you're preventing rashes, wounds even. Frequent diaper changes are physical health for the baby. But for the parent, diaper changes are something else. It's validation you're a good parent. Not necessarily, but that's what parents think. That's what they internalize. You know, so they want to change diapers frequently. They feel bad when you can't do that, mm-hmm. when they don't have enough, when they're running low on supplies, when they have two left, but they have a whole day that they have to take care of their infant or toddler. How do you do that when you have two diapers left? You know, a lot of parents find that stress then adds to other things. They're short-fused. They aren't focused as much as where they could be at work, right? You even have parents who are able to take their kids to daycare. Well, daycare has demands, and they have requirements on how many diapers need to be dropped off with their child, depending on how long that child's in daycare. And if parents can't meet those needs, are they getting judged? Are they being looked at as inadequate? What are people thinking about their parental style? There's all these things that can come with it with just the diaper issue.
Just the diaper issue. It seems so simple. I wonder, what are some of the misperceptions that we have in our community around diaper? I know some of the questions have been, well, doesn't SNAP, our food assistance program, doesn't that pay for diapers?
We do not have diaper assistance. And so that's something where parents have to think about what are the options for them. People have sometimes thought about, what about cloth diapers then?
Right.
Okay. So the reality of that is you're asking parents now to do more laundry, to pay more in soap, to pay more in other supplies, not to mention I don't know many parents that really want to do cloth diapers. There's a lot of other pieces that go to that. Daycares won't accept cloth diapers, so then that's another piece to it. So cloth diapers isn't really the right solution because there's cost, time, and restrictions associated with that. So really, the stigma behind diapers really comes down to when you see children that have saturated diapers, and we've all seen it. Yeah. We've been out in public. We see the kids, and their pants are bulging, and you're like, change the baby. And sometimes it's just because they haven't had a moment to do that. But other times, it's because the parents don't have enough diapers to do that. And so it's time for us to pause and just see, how do we help our children and our infants, 0 to 3, how do we make sure that their hygiene's kept, but how do we also make sure that our parents get the support they need and we're not judging them for those kind of moments?
It can be such a challenging time to have a 0 to 3-year-old, right? It's really joyful to have a new baby, but as you point out, there are a lot of stressors involved with that. And how can our communities make this just a little bit easier, take a little bit of that burden off of families? And I know through CoAction, you have an opportunity in front of you for, tell us what's going on with your diaper grant.
I will. So CoAction, we're a host site for the Women, Infant, and Children's Program. A lot of us know it as WIC. We usually use that acronym often. The WIC program is a prevention program. It is for health, and it is for parenting education. It's for different elements to make sure that prenatal care all the way to 3-year-olds are taken care of. And we actually go as high as 5. So we have programs all the way up until 5. And so the great part about this is sometimes we get opportunities to pilot things. And so recently we had a chance to apply for a special grant with the Diaper Depot of Indiana to try to see if we could introduce diapers in addition to nutrition supports to our families. Would this make a difference on WIC experiences? Would this allow moms and parents to stay in WIC longer if they had other supports like diapers? So we've never done this before. WIC in Indiana has never offered diapers before. This is the first time, and we just launched it a couple weeks ago.
So tell us what that looks like. Well, maybe begin even with WIC. So I have a new baby. What do I need to know about coming to Women, Infants, Children?
As a mom who used WIC twice, I'm a big fan of the WIC program. So it starts at prenatal care. Hopefully doctors are telling us that, hey, WIC is available for you. WIC is a program where there's some eligibility requirements for that. But if you're a single woman and you're pregnant, you can make $39,000 a year and qualify for WIC. It really is a preventative nutritional program that gives your pregnant self and your future child the best beginning for nutrition and education, for iron and vitamin C, for a lot of different breastfeeding even pieces to give your child a healthy start. So if you're pregnant and you go to your local WIC clinic, and they're all over Northwest Indiana, we have 11 locations for moms to go to. And if you go to that location, they help you out, they do a screening, they give you other supplements that you might need, talk to you about prenatal care, really give your pregnant self the strongest start for when you become a mom.
And so we know healthy moms make healthy babies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for the WIC program, you come to these visits and you're able to get like a debit card, right? And you can have a debit card. There's benefits on that. You even can get fresh produce at farmers markets in the season. And then you meet a dietitian and you meet a registered nurse, and the people that we have in the clinics just, they love babies, they love pregnant mamas, they love 5-year-olds. They really enjoy and understand how those beginnings, those first beginnings, are so critical to set a whole path for a healthy life. So you come to your appointment, you get all the support that you need. Between appointments, you can use your debit card and use that at different places to get nutrition and benefits. And the biggest thing that we do in that first year is we offer formula for moms who aren't breastfeeding. And if you are breastfeeding, which we are pro-breastfeeding, I should have worn my breastfeeding t-shirt today. We're pro-breastfeeding, and so we help moms breastfeed and pump, but not all moms can do that. So then we supplement with formula support, which is really helpful for the cost, right, yes, for having a newborn. And then when you get to about 12 months, that formula benefit, that is done, that is no longer needed. And now we're introducing a diaper benefit. So this is our pilot. This is our experience, our new grant that we're trying to increase our WIC mamas and families to use the WIC services beyond 12 months. These services are good from 0 to 5. What we find, though, is around that 12-month mark, after that formula benefit goes away, or after maybe they stop breastfeeding, mm-hmm, demands in life can sometimes outweigh the challenge to get to your WIC appointment. And that's real.
It's life, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we found that if we can offer diapers and we can do packs of 50, right? So if you come to that 12-month visit, you can get 50 diapers when you get your check-in for all the nutrition things and other supports that you might need. And we're looking to do that even more frequently. Are they toddlers at 12 months, Mary Jane?
No, almost. If they're moving around, we call them toddlers.
Okay. So hit or miss there. So the 12-month-olds, if they are pretty established and they're healthy and the weight looks great, well, then they only need to come to the WIC clinic a couple times a year. So we're trying to help our mamas that with those visits, you can have diapers at each visit. We just started. We've got lots of diapers. But you know what? We serve like 16,000 people a month. So we want to make sure that those diapers are available for all the moms that are eligible. So we're going to assess that for these next couple months and then see how many we really can give based on the shipments and the demands.
That's really impressive. And I think what a difference that could make for some families. As you say, $100 a month, taking away some of that burden is really important. And I think would also just ease that burden, right? Maybe families wouldn't have to make some choices between, do I go to the grocery store one more time this month or do I diaper my baby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the WIC program has several financial benefits. So the nutrition alone can save $50 to $75 a month. Fresh produce, we know, is not always cheap, right? Some of our unhealthier foods tend to be more affordable. Mm-hmm. And we know that for that brain development and for things that are happening from pregnant mamas all the way until 5, but really that 0 to 3 special space, that nutrition is so, so big. And so if you're with the WIC program and you're able to get $50 to $75 more nutritious food in your system, in your baby system, you are doing the best parental job you can do. And now if you couple that with some diapers as well and alleviate some of that parental stress, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal because we know really those first 1,000 days, the importance of developing that relationship with your baby. And it's really hard to develop a relationship with anyone if you're stressed, if you're worried about your finances, if you're worried about, you know, can I take my child to early learning and care if they're not, if I don't have the diapers to take with me, am I going to make it to my job? Are they going to call me from my child center? We're out of diapers. You need to come pick up your baby.
You know, I've had 2 children myself, and so I've gone through toddler stages and infant stages, and I was a working mother through all of that, and not proud moments, but when life is stressful, we can be short-fused with our kiddos, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of patience when you're raising toddlers and young kiddos, and so when you're stressed about finances and stressed about other elements, we don't have as much patience.
It's true.
And so, you know, even I can look back on the periods, you know, now they're young adults, right? But I can look back on those periods and think, oh, I wish I didn't, you know, I wish I was cooler. I wish I kept my cool, right? But if I had a little bit of support, if I didn't have as much stress, I would have kept my cool. I would have had a calmer demeanor because that's just how life works. That's how our behavior works.
And that really lends itself to that importance of that relationship that you have with your baby. And I know you were just madly, wildly crazy in love with both of your children. And that's what it takes, right? Is that strength in relationship, that bond that you have with your child. It just takes one person to be madly crazy in love with you.
I remember, too, that feeling of, I want to make sure that my baby, my 12-month-old, my 18-month-old, has all of these experiences, the best experiences I can give them. You know, thinking about nutrition, thinking about physical health, thinking about exposure to play and animals and just life and fresh air and all those things, all of that makes a wholesome, healthy experience. We all have our different areas that we support in that, and that's where CoAction comes in with the WIC program. Our area of support is on nutrition. It is on how we can reduce stress for parents, and this now is on how do we make sure the diaper health translates to physical health. So we're really excited for this.
That is, I think that's going to make a real big difference. So what kinds of ways are you measuring? Are you kind of understanding that impact over time?
Yeah, so we just started a few weeks ago, but our biggest measurable is on participation rates. Mm-hmm. So we have easily 17,000 to 18,000 people enrolled in WIC each month. But participation is different than enrollment. People can enroll in different ways, but you actually have to come and engage with that team at that clinic. And so we know that we want to close that gap. We want our enrollment to be as high as people that participate, right? The other thing that we're measuring is what happens after 12 months. So we find is between 12 months and 24 months is that at risk where moms stop coming. It's really difficult to transport with a 14 and a 15 month old. And if you have other children, that can be even harder. And so again, weighing the pros and cons for them of saying, is the nutrition support alone enough? It was definitely enough with nutrition and formula. But how do we make it a little bit more for us for the challenge of transportation? And so now it's, I get diapers? Oh, that will help me out so much. And we recognize that that is a direct impact on the parents, but a direct impact on the, you know, toddler and infant too.
So families who are looking for this kind of support, where do they find, how do they enroll? And then more importantly, how do they continue to participate?
There's several great ways to do that. WIC is a national organization. WIC is throughout the state of Indiana. CoAction manages the counties that are in Northwest Indiana, Lake, Porter, LaPorte, Jasper, Newton, Stark, Pulaski. We have locations in all of those counties, multiple in Lake especially. So doctors are aware of us, hospitals are aware of us, and then a lot of people are just aware of the WIC clinics in general. You can walk in, you can go online to CoAction's website. We have information there, and that's just coaction.care. And then once people answer just a few questions, they really just get TLC. So this is a wonderful start, preventative health, great start to being the best parent you can be and giving your child the best health that they could have.
And that's so important. I know some of your team that work with WIC, and they're so compassionate and understanding. Without judgment, I think that's a fear for all parents is, am I doing the best job? What are other people thinking about how I'm doing? Thinking about my child as a reflection of myself. And I know your WIC team is really just open and welcoming and supportive. And I've always enjoyed my interactions with them.
Thank you. You know, it's really neat. I love visiting our WIC clinics. It's a happy place for me. Part of it's because I did a lot of work in young children and in infants, but also being a WIC mama twice over. We have peer breastfeeding support staff, and that's wonderful. So we have these young moms who are actively breastfeeding. They're even able to bring their own baby to work for the first 9 months, which is really supportive, and I encourage that too. And so moms come in, and they can get direct breastfeeding support, peer support, because y'all, breastfeeding is not always the simplest thing. None of us are born to say, oh, we're going to be a great breastfeeder. That is
That's
not the truth. And so there's a lot of pieces to that. So from the WIC clinics, they're doing a lot of work there. They even provide breast pumps to moms. We have quite a few working moms. Again, the WIC criteria, $39,000, and you can qualify as a pregnant woman. $49,000 if you have a family of three, $55,000 if you're a family of four. And I share that because there's a lot of people who are in that range who don't recognize that you can go to a local WIC clinic and you can get these services for prenatal all the way to 5 years old. And it's all about the physical, you know, direct physical and that indirect stress level and mental health for our parents. So
to support. So some other things I know about Indiana and diaper needs. So we know that it's not part of our food assistance programs. But we do know that Indiana in 2022, they removed the sales tax for diapers. Is that correct?
I did hear that as well.
So that, you know, 7% of $100, that also just adds up over time. And so we're making small steps.
Oh, yeah. $7 a month. Multiply that by 12, right? I mean, and we're talking another $150 a year in savings. I mean, I like that Indiana's really trying to support our young families and trying to make sure that our kids, those first 1,000 days, are as strong as they can be. Mm-hmm. It really is an investment. It's a long-term gain.
It is, and we won't really see the full return on that investment until 20 years from now, right? When these children are adults and they're contributing to their communities and employed and working with their own families, right? It's going to be a long game that we're in this for.
Yeah.
We're here today with Jen Trowbridge, President and CEO of CoAction. We're talking about the very important issue of diaper need. Jen, there's a return on that investment when families have the support that they need, when our communities invest in supporting families with diapers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So we operate the Women, Infant, and Children Program, which is known as WIC. And the WIC program is a grant-funded program. There's a lot of pieces to this grant-funded program to show how it impacts our economy, how it impacts lives. And we know that investment in WIC is an investment in our entire community health. And I say that strongly, and I believe that wholly. When you spend a dollar in WIC, you're saving $2 on average, as high as $3 plus, but $2 on average in future health savings costs that we would, as taxpayers, have the burden of managing. We see that in childhood obesity. When you are in WIC, the obesity rates for childhood obesity are almost 10% less than people not in WIC. That matters. That means something. We see that breastfeeding rates are higher. We know breastfeeding provides the best brain development. There's great formula out there, and I was a formula mom and a breastfeeding mom, so I get all the women out there who have to make choices. But breastfeeding really is the best for brain development. Women who engage in WIC, more of them participate in breastfeeding, and they participate longer in breastfeeding.
They stick with it a little bit
they
longer.
They do. The WIC program is a preventative health program for parents to come to get not only nutrition benefits, but other benefits too. Now in Northwest Indiana, because CoAction manages the WIC program, participants also get the other benefits that CoAction offers. So at CoAction, we help people with financial stability. We do that through literacy, through education, even through some asset building programs. We also do housing stability. We know that diapers especially cost money, $100 a month, but you can't go to your landlord or your mortgage company and say, hey, I had a baby, so I just need to decrease my mortgage $100, guys, just for a little bit, a couple years. It doesn't work that way, right? And so we know that when these costs go up, and when life costs go up, we have to figure out how we can help people not lose housing stability. So at CoAction, we do that as well. We have housing stability programs and counselors and people to make sure that we're providing holistic care so that people remain financially healthy and the best parents that they can be.
Okay. All right. So we're here with Jen Trowbridge, and we're talking about diaper need. We're talking about the organization that she leads, CoAction. And I have a question for you, Jen. We hear about the diaper need, and so many of our community members are really interested in supporting and helping. Is there ways in which community members out there who maybe their children are long gone, they're grown and they're flown, how can community members support the work that you're doing to help families?
Well, I think there's a couple ways for that. This is a new pilot for us to be offering diapers, just launched a few weeks ago. We are already excited about what we're seeing, and we know we're going to want to do even more. As any grant-funded program or typical grant-funded programs, they have a match to them. And a lot of people don't know that if you've never worked in this kind of space. So what that means is when you get a grant for, let's say, we'll go easy. Let's say you got a grant for $1,000, and they say you have $1,000, but you need to match 25% of that. What that really means is the grant is only for $750. We have to have donations for $250, and that donations comes from community support. Sometimes it's tangible things. It could be space or actual supplies, and other times it's monetary. So if we have people who are just, their heart is into these young ones, infants, toddlers, you can donate diapers, You can also donate financially. You can contact some of your local daycare facilities and find out from them if they accept donations of diapers. If they can alleviate some of the burden for some of the families, they become better parents, right? Low stress, happier parents.
Absolutely.
Right? So right. If we can do some of that work, I think there's a really kind of great experience we can have for even the daycare workers and what they have to manage with families. So I think those are really great ways for people if they want to give back on this specific topic.
That's wonderful. So you were telling us a little bit more about CoAction and all of the wonderful supports that you bring to our community to really wrap our arms around our neighbors.
Yeah. So CoAction, we're among the larger nonprofit, like for purpose is a better term in my mind to describe us, where we're focused on people experiencing financial hardship. We have a lot of working families that it's just hard to make ends meet with life being so expensive. And so CoAction, we have different programs that help people get ahead financially. Mm-hmm. For instance, we have a savings match program. And if you're a family who says, you know what, I really want to purchase my first home, I'm renting. Rents tend to be higher than mortgages. And so in order for them to get ahead, they can save a little, but they can't really save enough. And so CoAction has a program where if they are saving for a home and they save even a little bit, once they reach $1,500, we have programs that match that three times.
Wow.
And give them $4,500. And now they have a $6,000 asset. I know for me in my life, I've had family to lean on as I was growing up. You know, even though I worked hard and all the time, sometimes I still struggled making ends meet. And not everybody has those supports. So CoAction can offer some of those supports to help people get ahead. But we also have other things that we do with nutrition. So nutrition, of course, we're doing a lot of things on WIC for the young, but we also do older adult nutrition too. People experiencing financial hardship are all ages. So in our older adult population, we have people who aren't as housing stable as we wish they would be. So we have programs to help our older adults with housing stability, even helping with ramps and items to make the home a safe place. But then we have all this other work that we're doing for housing stability in general for all ages as well. So really, CoAction is the local for-purpose organization that's helping people with any kind of financial hardship find that stability in housing, in nutrition, in financials, and we partner with so many other entities in our region. It's really great.
It is really great. And I know it's coaction.gives, is that correct?
.care.
.care. I was going to get that. coaction.care. And Jen, we're really grateful for all the work that you do, your amazing team, your leadership, not just in our community, but also nationally. I know you're off to Washington, D.C. to advocate for these efforts. Good luck to you. And again, thank you for everything.
Thank you so much.
Building Blocks, the podcast, is a co-production of Lakeshore Public Media and First Things First Porter County. For more information on Building Blocks, including this podcast, as well as the television show, visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
Legacy Foundation is Lake County's community foundation. For over 30 years, we've partnered with donors and nonprofits, focusing on youth development, the arts, the environment, health, literacy, and other causes that matter to you. We're committed to Lake County forever. First Things First, Porter County is dedicated to supporting families, healthy beginnings, and quality early learning, ensuring every Porter County baby is born prepared for a strong start in life. Learn more at firstthingspc.org.
I have a very strong connection to other students. Everyone makes an effort to help each other. I'll remember the feeling of being here, the feeling that I was a part of a family.
Learn more at pnw.edu.
Additional support for Building Blocks is provided generously by Tom Sorlis and Sue Eleuterio, as well as Porter County Community Foundation, serving Porter County since 1996.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for this week. Thanks to our guest, Michael Gallenberger, who hosted Crown Point firefighter Mike Kotacek, as well as Dr. Mary Jane Eisenhower with the latest podcast of Building Blocks. And we'll be back with you next week with an all-new show.